This morning, I want to call your attention to the Word of God on this first Sunday of the new year. I'd invite you to turn right now to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. You'll recognize it as a familiar chapter when you open your Bible there. We'll be reading the text in just a few minutes. Philippians chapter 3. 10 years ago, when Billy and I first went to Alaska, I was invited to speak at a district conference and then hold evangelistic meetings in one of the churches there. We stayed with a medical doctor and his wife in Kenai, Dr. Peter Hansen and Cora Lee. And long toward the end of the time we were there, I remember Billy saying to Cora Lee, "Don't you folks kind of dread the fall and the winter a little bit as the cold comes and then all those dark hours during the day, don't you kind of dread to see all this sunshine turn to darkness?" And she said, "No." She said, "Because people have worked so hard all summer, they're ready for a rest. All those daylight hours in the summertime, almost 24 hours of daylight sometimes," she said, "we're ready for a rest." I have a feeling that some of you folks feel that way this morning after Christmas, after the Christmas season is all. It's been a very wonderful time. Some of you probably kind of worn out and spent out, I'm sure, and you're about ready to get back into the routine of a new year. 1998. Seems impossible that that time is here. How many of you, by the way, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many mistakes have you already made in signing checks, writing checks or letters, and put 1997 instead of 98 like you were supposed to? I've made some already. I remember when my wife and I were first married back in 1952, oh, a couple, 3 years after that, I was thinking, I wonder what it'd be like to say 1960 or 1970 or, man, 1980. And beyond that was eternity. I never, you know, I didn't think beyond that. Now people are talking about the year 2000, and it's almost here. Seems impossible. Well, on this first Sunday of the new year and on past New Year's Sundays, I suppose more sermons have been preached from Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 than any other verses in the Bible. Paul says, "I follow after if I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ." In verse 13, he says, "I count not myself to have apprehended. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now, that's an appropriate passage for a New Year's text, probably the best one in the Bible, and it's probably used more than any other. However, I'm preaching from chapter 3, but not from verses 13 and 14. But I would like to read verses 10 through 14 for our text. So if you have your Bible open, you can follow as I read. Paul says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." One of the great passages of the New Testament. I want to call your attention this morning to the last few words of verse 12. Paul says, "I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended," or "I've been apprehended of Christ Jesus." Paul said, "I follow after, if perhaps I may apprehend or lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus lay hold of me." There's a reality in this verse that had gripped Paul's heart. It's found in the last sentence, or the last part of that verse. And I just read the words. He said, "I am apprehended of Christ." Paul said, "I've been apprehended by the Lord Jesus Christ," and that was very real to him. Very great reality to him. You know, we say many times in presenting the gospel, you need to choose the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to receive Him as your Savior. And that's true. It's biblical. If you are here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, the blessed message of the gospel is that God sent His Son into this world to be born as we've just celebrated, then to live, and then to go to the cross and die for your sins in your place. He was raised from the dead in order that it might be demonstrated that the price of sin was paid and therefore death had no claim upon him. And as I said in our ABF, that resurrection was the one sign that God said he would give to the world that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is who he said he was, the Son of God. And therefore, we proclaim that gospel to you. And God is waiting for you to receive his Son as your Lord and Savior. And until you do that, God can do no further work in your life. That's a valid invitation. The responsibility is squarely upon your shoulders. God will not force himself into your life. That's all true. But neither can we get away from the truth in the scriptures that God chose us. One of these days when we get to heaven, we're going to see that our salvation was all of God. And I read verses like this. Jesus said, "Ye did not choose me, but I chose you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit." Paul says in the book of Ephesians that we've been chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And that truth got a hold of Paul. Paul said, "God apprehended me. God laid hold of me." You know his story. He hated Christians. He was persecuting them. He was on the road to Damascus with orders to put people in jail in Damascus, probably kill some of them. And the Lord struck him down off of his, I don't know if he was riding a horse or what he was riding, but he struck him down and he was blind. God took a hold in his life. We can't get away from that. What does it mean when Paul says, "I was apprehended"? The Greek word literally means to lay hold of. To lay hold of. Now, you know what it means. We say sometimes, you hear say on the news, the police apprehended so-and-so. Here's a guy that robs the store, and the police take off after him, and he's apprehended. Or you're going down the road faster than you ought to be, and there's a blue light in the rear, and he pulls you over, and he apprehends you. He lays hold of you. He stops you dead in your tracks. Paul said, that's what God did in my life. God apprehended me. There are those who could stand here this morning. Some of us, our conversion experience, well, they're all different. Some of you came to Christ maybe as a child when you were in a Sunday school or an Awana program or somewhere else, and you were raised in a Christian home and you had that opportunity to hear the gospel and you came to Christ as a child. How wonderful. How wonderful. Others could stand here this morning and say, "I was going pell-mell down the road of life toward hell, having no time for God, the gospel, Jesus Christ, or anything else. One day God apprehended me." One day God apprehended me. God came on the scene in my life, and I heard the gospel, and God worked in my heart, and he brought me to Christ. I want to say, if you're a Christian here this morning, get a hold of this truth. You have been apprehended by God. God brought you to himself by his grace. All glory to God. All glory to God. Some of you, he's still chasing you. The blue light's still on. He's trying to bring you to himself. Oh, he won't force you. He'll never do that. But he's trying to bring you to himself. He's trying to apprehend you. He's saying, now's the accepted time. Now's the day of salvation. And some of you, if you're without Christ, you, like the rest of us before we came to Christ, you've experienced the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You know what it is? You're uncomfortable. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. You ought to thank God for that. You ought to thank God for that. There are a lot of people who've turned their back on Christ and are going down the road of life absolutely unconcerned, with no care, not thinking about spiritual things, not thinking about where they're going to spend eternity, not thinking about their accountability to God, and they're going pell-mell toward hell with little care. Every bit of conviction that you have ever experienced is the work of God's grace in your heart by the Holy Spirit. And though it be unpleasant, you ought to thank God for it. You ought to be glad for it. Why? Because God's trying to bring you to himself. God's trying to apprehend you. And if you're here this morning without Christ, the Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. This is the hour when God wants you, this first Sunday of this new year. Now, as I said in this passage of Scripture, that all of that reality had gripped the Apostle Paul. He said, "I have been apprehended by Christ Jesus." And as a result of that, he said in the previous part of the verse, he said, I follow after, if I may apprehend, now here's what I'm talking about, that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ. He said, I'm following after that for which Christ apprehended me. In other words, he said, the result of Christ bringing me to himself, God bringing me to Christ, The result of the fact that I have been apprehended is the fact that God apprehended me for a purpose. He apprehended me for a purpose. He said, I'm following after that for which God laid hold of me. Think of it. If you belong to Him, if you know Christ as your Savior, I want to tell you something. God saved you for far more than just rescuing you from hell. Now, if that was it, He would have taken you home to heaven right when He saved you. You know, no use sticking around here. Best is yet to come. He would have taken you home to heaven then. But for every Christian here today, God has a purpose and a plan for your life in 1998. This year, He has a purpose for you, and that's why He's left you here. And Paul said, I'm following after that for which Christ laid hold of me. It is exciting to know that God has His plan all laid out for your life for this year, 1998. Nothing that ever happens to you during this year is ever going to surprise God. He has His perfect will all laid out for your life. He wants you to be in it. He's laid hold of you for that purpose, and He's allowed you to come to a new year, and therefore, He's not done with you yet. He's got that purpose and that plan, and He wants to use you during this coming year. Let me just encourage you by saying, don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of it. Most of the time, we act like God is some ogre. Our loving Heavenly Father is some ogre that we have to be afraid of to yield our lives to Him. I think young people are like that, afraid to yield their lives to Him, afraid God will call them to the mission field somewhere and bury them out someplace where they won't, you know, all of that business. Don't be afraid of that. I never forget what I heard a college professor say one time. He said, don't feel too sorry for missionaries. He said, I know they sacrifice a lot and they give a lot, but he said, I want to remind you that they'd never be happy anywhere else. It's the will of God. Don't be afraid of the purpose of God for your life in 1998. Don't be afraid of it. God's got that purpose laid out, and don't be afraid of it. He apprehended you for a purpose, and that ought to give a certain amount of excitement as you, as a Christian, look forward to this year. As your life is in His will and you lay it in His hand, that ought to give a certain amount of excitement for you, knowing that His purpose comes from the hand of a Father who loves you and wants what's best for you. Shall I say it again? I've said it many times from this pulpit. Nothing can ever touch the heart, the life of the yielded child of God without first passing through the hands of a sovereign God who is also your loving Heavenly Father. Realize that as you face 1998. God laid hold of you if you're a Christian. He's apprehended you. He's got His hand on you. And He's got His hand on you for a purpose in 1998. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of it. I long that you as a Christian will have the same response that Paul did. He said, in the words I've read to you, he said, I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. He said, I follow after that purpose that God has in my life for this year, for this time, for which Jesus Christ laid hold of me. If I can lay hold of it. By the way, the Greek word here for follow after means, it's the Greek word dioko, and it means running to catch. Running after something to catch. I get a mental picture, you know, these old cartoons that are sometimes on the TV, and you see the guy that missed the train and he's running down the track to catch the train. He's trying to reach the caboose, you know, to get on. That's the picture here. The guy's running after to catch it. He says, I pursue with determination and all that I've got to find the purpose for which God apprehended me. That's what Paul says. It's the reason I've titled this message this morning, All That You Can Be in 1998. You've surely seen the commercials that the Army has on television that says, Be all that you can be. Be all that you can be. Join the Army. Quit laughing. Join the Army. Be all that you can be. Well, that's what I'm talking about this morning. God wants you to be all that you can be in 1998. He really does. Let me say it again. God wants you as a Christian to be all that you can be in 1998. He's got His will laid out for you. He's got His plan laid out for you. He's got His purpose for you. And Paul says, and may you echo it, I'm going to pursue it. I'm going to follow. You know, there's a lot of Christians that are following the Lord, just like the little kid that goes to the department store with his mother. Any of you ladies got a 6-year-old or 5-year-old or 7-year-old? And you go to the store, you got to get the kids some new jeans or you got to get some new socks, maybe a new shirt. And you go to the department store, you say, "Now stay with mother, stay right here with me, follow me." And so you're over there and you're looking at the shirt, you're deciding, and he's over there at the escalator watching people go up and down the escalator. You say, "Come on, Johnny, we got to go on over here at the department, I got to get you some socks." And about that time, he's over there watching something else. And you say, "Will you please stay with me?" And you have that experience? It's the way a lot of God's people are following the Lord. Tagging along. Tagging along in God's will for your life. Enamored by all the trinkets of the world. Enamored by this ambition. Enamored by this thing we've got to have. Enamored by this material possession. Enamored by these goals and all of that. All of the things of this world, which the Bible says are going to pass away anyway. And Jesus is just saying, "Follow me. Stay close to me. Follow me." And Paul said, "I am absolutely determined with all that I possess. I am going to pursue," that's what the word means, "I'm going to pursue that for which Jesus Christ laid hold of me." And I pray that that will be the challenge to your life in 1998. Let me give you a little motto. It's not mine, you've heard it before, but it's a good motto for 1998. For the Christian, the will of God, nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. Make that your motto for this year. The will of God, nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. Oh, may you hunger for it. It is exciting to know that God has His will for your life, to bless you for that which is for your good. Whether to you it seems ill or whether it seems good, it is for your good. The Bible says so, and God has it all laid out there. And He says you ought to seek it more than anything else, because it's the only path to joy and blessing. God's got it. Well, maybe you say, "That's what I want. I want it. But how can I know what it is? I don't know what all God has for me." Sometimes determining the will of God's hard in life. You say, "How can I find it?" I've had young people ask me that question. Well, I can't tell you what it is. I can't answer that. I can't tell you what God's will for your life is, but I do think I can tell you how to find it. I do think I can tell you how to find it. The key is twofold. It's very simple. First of all, it is a predetermined act of obedience to the Word of God. As you face this year, saying, "I am going to be obedient to God's word. As God shows me His will in His word, I will not turn my back on it. I'll not violate it. I'll not go against it. I am determined that I am going to obey God and His word." That's one way you're going to find it. The other way goes right along with it. It is submission to the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit applies His word to your life, as He leads you day by day concerning witness, concerning prayer, concerning other matters, that you'll just get up every morning and say, "Oh, Spirit of God, I yield myself to Thee. Open doors before me. Lead me. Use me this day. I present myself to Thee. I present my body to You. I present my life to You. I just yield myself to Thee. Enable me today to be filled with the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit and to walk in obedience to the Word of God." I'll guarantee you, if you do those two things, you will find the will of God for your life. You'll do it. And there's kind of a secret as to knowing how to do that, being able to do that. Paul talked about it back in verses 10 and 11. He said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Here it is. Being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. You say, what in the world is Paul talking about there? Paul said, I want to know Christ intimately, and therefore I want to conform to the death of Christ. Now, God's not going to didn't ask Paul, and He's not going to ask you to die physically, not at this time. That's not what He's talking about. Paul said, I want to know what it is to die to Saul of Tarsus. I want to die to my own life, my own will, my own ambitions, this old self, which has so much of a tendency to to take control. I want to die to Paul. I want to conform to the death of Christ in order that I may attain, that I may achieve the resurrection. And he's not talking about physical resurrection. It literally says the out-resurrection from among dead folks. Paul is literally saying, I want to know what it is to die to myself in order that I may know that intimacy and power that comes in a resurrected life that comes from one who has died and is committed to Jesus Christ. As you die to yourself, you say, Lord, I don't have any time of my own, no money of my own, no life of my own, no family of my own, no house of my own, no car of my own, no possessions of my own. They all belong to you, and I want to die to them all, that I can know that intimacy and power with Jesus Christ that doesn't come any other way. I want to know that resurrection power. You see, when you know that, that's the secret. When you begin to experience that, then you can know what it is to have a heart that's in obedience to the Word of God. Then you'll be open to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, that's what Paul was saying. It was all about for him. He's saying, I, more than anything, want to pursue doggedly with all that's in me. I want to pursue that purpose for which God laid hold of me back there on the road to Damascus. In fact, in this passage, Paul says that he is pursuing two things. One I've already talked about, verse 12. He says, I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which Christ apprehended me. The other one is in verse 13. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth and think, no, it's in 14. Reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Do you see the word follow in verse 12 where he says, I follow after? Do you see the word press in verse 14? I press toward the mark. They're exactly the same words in the Greek New Testament. In fact, if you have a New American Standard, if you have a New International Version, it is translated in both verses, I press on. In both verses. Now, Paul says, I'm pursuing two things in my life. He said, first of all, I am pursuing with dogged determinedness that purpose for which Jesus Christ laid hold of me when he apprehended me in this life. God's will for my life. God using me in this life. God using me, you might say, in 1998. I pursue that. And then secondly, in so doing, I pursue the prize. I press on toward the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. I think he was looking forward to that day of the Lord's coming or his home going to hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's the culmination of a life that pursues the purpose of God and the will of God. Christian, as you face 1998, how about it? Have you been just tagging along? You've been just tagging along? You say you know the Lord, and you do. But I wonder during 1997 if you were just tagging along when Jesus said, follow me. Follow me. And when Paul says, I'm doggedly pursuing the purpose that God has for me in this life, this year, this day, I wonder if up to now you've just sort of been tagging along. Or has the chief purpose of your life, the chief desire of your life been to say, Lord, I want to pursue the purpose for which you apprehended me, and I want to pursue in 1998, I want to pursue the purpose that you have for my life every day this year in 1998. Oh, God, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. I want you to use me. And I challenge you, Christian, if you know Christ, if you've just been tagging along and sort of been going along and all that sort of thing, maybe there's not overt sin that everybody knows about, but when it comes to pursuing the purpose that God has had for you, you've just been tagging along like that little boy in the department store. I want to challenge you to say on this first Sunday of the new year, by God's grace, I want to commit my life to pursue the purpose for which God laid hold of me, and I want that purpose fulfilled in my life in 1998, and I want it with all my heart. You tell him that. And if you're here this morning and you know not Jesus Christ as your Savior, I say again, dear friend, God is still trying to apprehend you. He spared your life by his grace. And he's still waiting on you. And he sends his Holy Spirit to convict you. And he's still got the blue light on, so to speak. Saying, I'm trying to apprehend you on the road you're going. I want to bring you to my son. I want to bring you to faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then I got a will for your life. And I want to use you. And I want you to fulfill my purpose in this world for you. But he said, you got to come to me first. I want to invite you on this first Sunday of the year to come to Jesus. Open your heart to him. Say, yes, Lord. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that. And I do believe that Jesus of Nazareth was the Son of God who came to this world. And I believe that when he died for me. And I want to trust him as my Savior. I want to ask him to be my Savior. And I will trust him today and commit my life to him. I ask you to save me today. Jesus said to that person, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He's trying to apprehend you today. Don't miss all the things that God has for you in 1998. Come to him on this first Sunday.